And you guys can have a seat this morning. I hope that you have experienced already the presence of Jesus here. Everybody who is online, we hope that you have experienced the presence of Jesus as well. And those of you at South County and Lincoln, we have been praying that you also are experiencing this presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we are in this teaching called Fully Charged. And we have framed this teaching in this way because we knew that we're coming into a new year, and exactly what we need is to be fully charged. We have come out of a very draining year, but not just that. Life is just draining. And you and I know what it's like to just do life and to be and to feel drained. And we need to be fully charged. Or what we're saying is, what this really fully charged teaching is really about is about the Holy Spirit. And we're doing this teaching in 1 Corinthians about the Holy Spirit. And as I was reading this week about the theology around the Holy Spirit, I came across this story that I wanted to read to you. It's from Augustine, one of the great early church fathers. And Augustine, he grew up in North Africa. He had a Christian mom who prayed that he would come to Jesus. And in his young adult years, he had not come to Jesus yet. And he had become very well studied. He became he climbed the ladder, if you will, and left North Africa and went into Italy. And there in Italy, as he's practicing his art of what they called rhetoric, which it's hard for us to understand, but I heard it described as hip-hop and being able to persuade people through speech, but adding rhythm to it as well, and rhyme. So it's hard for us to understand, but that was their culture then. But if you think of that hip-hop artist, but they had influence, and Augustine was good at it. And so he went to Italy and studied with the best of them, and it was there he was presented once again about who Jesus is. And there he gave his life to Jesus in Italy and Milan, and he goes back to North Africa, and he becomes a pastor. He teaches on a weekly basis in the church, and we have so many writings about deep theology. He was a deep thinker, and so much clarity has come from Augustine. And here's this story that is said. It is said that Augustine liked to walk the ocean after teaching on Sundays to rest his mind. And either after a teaching on a Sunday or working on a writing about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity, he was walking by the seaside, meditating on the difficult problem of how God could be three persons at once. And he came upon a little child. The child had dug a hole in the sand with a small seashell, was scooping water from the sea into the small hole. Augustine watched him for a while and finally asked the child, "What are you doing?" And the child answered that he would scoop all the water from the ocean and pour it into this hole in the sand. "What?" Augustine said. "That is impossible. Obviously, the sea is too large and the hole too small." "Indeed," said the child, "but I will sooner draw all the water from the sea and empty it into this hole than you will succeed in penetrating the mystery of the Holy Trinity with your limited understanding." And then he walks away thinking about what that child had said. And it is said that he looks back to where that child was, and he was gone. Had just like disappeared. And now, we don't know if this is allegory, if this is just something that Augustine wrote to prove his point, or if it's actually true and he had an encounter, as Hebrews writers tells us, that sometimes we entertain angels unaware. We don't know which it is, But the point is still true. We will never fully understand the depth of this idea that God can be three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But what we're trying to do in this teaching series is to give us some handles, to help us just to understand some practical ways that the Holy Spirit, and how important it is for the Holy Spirit, for us to be actually fully charged and live a life where the Holy Spirit is at work. And I was supposed to put that up during my telling of the story, but I forgot to. So, but here's what we are going to do today as we dig into this question and this thought about the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you this. The theme of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, we saw that already. The Holy Spirit with the Father in Genesis 1. The Holy Spirit on Jesus in Luke chapter 3 with the baptism. And then in Luke 4, how the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus so that he could do and have this powerful ministry that he had. And then the Holy Spirit in us in Acts 8 and in Acts chapter 2. And then the Holy Spirit through us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, we've already covered all that. That's just a refresher for you. But today, as we look at the Holy Spirit, this is the question for us. If you were able to go back and evaluate your words over this past week, were they more driven by you or driven by the Holy Spirit? If you had to give an honest evaluation about your words, did they come more from you? Or did they come because the power of the Holy Spirit was living inside of you? To be fully charged means that the very words coming from my mouth are driven by the Holy Spirit. And this is what we'll see in our teaching in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. We're going to pick up where Steve left off last week. Steve did a great job at helping us to understand in these verses just prior that there's an earthly wisdom and then there is a godly wisdom. And in our earthly wisdom, we look at godly wisdom and think, oh, that's just foolishness. But what Steve pointed out in one way that we would look at it as foolishness in this earthly wisdom is how many people who love God and who are doing exactly what God has called them to do, but yet they suffer. Bad stuff happens in their life. And worldly wisdom would look at that and say, oh no, this doesn't compute. This doesn't add up. This shouldn't be the way life is. And then Steve helped us to understand, oh no, it's a godly wisdom says that this suffering, our world being turned upside down, is a good thing because it's a process for us, and inside of us, it's building, doing a work inside of us, transforming us to become more like Jesus and sharing in his suffering. And now, in verse number 13, we read this. And when we tell you these things, Paul says, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. I've highlighted this phrase, we speak words given to us by the Spirit. Because Paul believed that the very words that would come out of him could actually come from the Holy Spirit who lived inside of him. And that's why the question this morning for you and I, as we evaluate our words over this past week, did we speak words that were given to us by the Spirit? If we were to go back and just kind of look at your social media posts, were those words given to you by the Spirit? Or were those words coming from you because you are angry at somebody else? Did you respond to your boss in such a way that it was actually the words of the Holy Spirit? Or because it was the words coming from you and your boss needed to know who was right and who was wrong? I know as I evaluated my own words, this was a tough week for me. Lots of tension. And when I paused to think about how I failed this very week, how I reacted, because I was reacting to the tension that was there. We all can do better at this. I know I certainly can. And it's our goal, and it should be every Christ follower's goal, that our very words would be driven by the Holy Spirit of God and not by us. And then he goes on and he says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. There is a difference. There is a difference between understanding intellectually and understanding to where it changes the way that you live your life. See, what Paul isn't saying there, he's not saying that, you know, that you can't understand how 2 + 2 = 4. What he is saying that, oh, you can have the knowledge, but do you understand it in a way that it actually changes your life? Because people can read the Bible and understand what it's saying, but what they miss out is that the Holy Spirit actually can change their life in the way they and the way that they actually live. And a prime example of this, a perfect example of this, is Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. For a moment, will you go with me to John chapter 3? In John chapter 3, we have this encounter that proves what Paul is trying to tell us about those who don't have the Spirit can't understand the things of the Spirit. Nicodemus was a Jewish leader. He was a leader of leaders. He was well educated with the best of them, and climbed the ladder of success, if you will, to land in a place of position, power, and authority. And he had money. And here, Nicodemus, he had the intellect. He was a teacher of the law. He taught the scriptures. He taught about the kingdom of God. He was an expert, if you will, in his day of having the knowledge. And let's read what John says about Nicodemus. John tells us there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark, now I just want to pause right here for 1 second. I want you to get this image in your mind. Here's a Jewish religious leader who is also a Pharisee. So that's that success ladder. He has robed himself with intellect. He has robed himself with power and position and authority. This is the robe that Nicodemus is wearing. And under the cover of darkness, he goes to search and ask Jesus a question. It was dark one evening. Here's this guy with position and power and authority in the Jewish people's lives. And he's coming under the cover of darkness. He doesn't want anybody to see what he is doing. And notice what he says when he finds Jesus. He calls him Rabbi. He calls him master. And then he says, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. I wonder about Nicodemus. I wonder, here is a guy who has been in the church. Here is a guy who has been teaching the Old Testament. Here is a guy that has been teaching about the prophets and the kingdom of God. And yet he knows that something is still missing on the inside. And what? And it's enough, as he has watched Jesus, as he has heard Jesus and heard about Jesus, it's enough for him to say, he is actually living in a way that I teach about that I have never experienced before. And I wonder how many of us show up at church and we know the Bible, and yet we're missing the same thing that Nicodemus was missing, and that was actually the transformation that happens on the inside. He was missing the Spirit. Notice what Jesus does. Here's Nicodemus using all these platitudes, all this flattery, and Jesus just goes right to the heart of the issue. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus speaks to the heart of the issue, and he knew what the heart of the issue was, and that wasn't that Nicodemus didn't have the intellect, that he didn't have the knowledge or the information. He had it. But he wasn't willing to take his robe of pride off. He wasn't willing to take his robe of, "Look at all the good things that I have done. I have climbed the ladder of success." He wasn't willing to take his robe of authority and power off. And Jesus uses this word of born again. This so was penetrating to Nicodemus. As Nicodemus heard these words come at him, he is thinking, "Oh, this is what we make anyone do who is outside of the Jewish culture. We make them come and to be at the bottom of the rung, like they are born again, like starting over, being recreated. That these converts who wanted to be Jewish, they would have to be," and they would use this language of "be born again." Again, start all over. And Jesus is looking at Nicodemus, and even though he is Jewish, he's telling him, "You need to start all over. You need to drop the robe of pride. You need to drop the robe of your success. You need to drop the robe of thinking that it was your power and your position that got you where you are." And then Nicodemus is like, "What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Most Bible scholars believe that this isn't an actual question, but more of a critic. They believe that he's actually put the wall of defense up, and that now he's become defensive because Jesus has just exposed the real issue, that he needs to start all over again, start at the very beginning, and leave all his intellect behind. What about you? What about you at home? You at South County and Lincoln, what about you? Where are you? Jesus goes on and he says this. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit." And now what we see John doing is he's using these two images to describe or to point back to baptism. And please hear this, not two different baptisms, just one baptism, using two words to describe this one baptism. Because when John described the baptism of Jesus, he described it as going in the water and coming out of the water. And that is when the dove ascended upon him, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So he's talking about the very baptism of Jesus. And he's looking at Nicodemus and again speaking the language of Nicodemus, of what Nicodemus would have looked at anybody who was outside of the Jewish culture. And they would have to start all over again and be baptized by water in order to convert to Judaism. And Nicodemus is hit with this reality. What do I do? Jesus continues on and he says, "Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Just because you come to church, you could have come to church, to this church, every day during the pandemic. That doesn't make you any better than someone else. That doesn't give you spiritual life. It gives you maybe some information because you came and sang some songs. It maybe gives you some information because you heard some teachings from the Scripture. And it gives you some intellect and some knowledge as you leave. But it's only the Holy Spirit who gives birth to spiritual life. And the question for you to wrestle with is, have you actually had a spiritual rebirth in your life? have you actually experienced a rebirth that has given you spiritual life? And then Jesus goes on, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again, because this is where it all starts. And then he uses a more analogy. He comes to this wind. He says, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Again, Jesus using symbolisms of that Nicodemus would understand, because in their time, in their context, the wind would immediately, he understood that drove their economics, because it was all about the wind driving the seaports and their or just going out on the to fish for their trade. And the wind would drive those sailboats, and you can't see that wind, but that wind will push you forward. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, just like you can't see the wind, the Holy Spirit of God needs to come inside of you and create a rebirth and move you forward. And the question again is, has that happened in your life? And then again, Nicodemus, he says, how are these things possible? How can this be possible? He's not getting it. He had the information, but he doesn't have the rebirth. So Jesus replies back, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. Jesus is like, we're showing up. We've been teaching these things, but yet you won't believe in me as the Messiah. That's why you can't receive the Spirit. That's why you can't have this new birth, is because you don't actually believe that I am the Messiah. And then he jumps right into this famous verse of John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him, whether you are Jewish and you're at the lowest rung on the ladder, or you're at the highest and you have reached the pinnacle of your career, but he says it doesn't matter who you are, everyone who actually believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to actually save the world, or meaning the people, to save the people in this world through him. That was why Jesus came. And then he says that there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. Why? How can that be? Because Jesus took the judgment upon himself. Jesus took your and my judgment upon himself upon that cross. That's exactly why Jesus came. That's how you and I don't have to be condemned and separated from God. And when we put our faith in Jesus, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in. But he says, but anyone who does not believe in him, meaning Jesus, has already been judged. Why? For not believing in God's one and only Son. See, that's the judgment. That means that you're taking on your judgment, what we all deserve. We all deserve separation from God because of our sin. And he is saying that those who don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, then you are saying that you accept that judgment upon yourself. And then he says, and the judgment is based on this fact, that God's light came into the world, but the people love darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And what was their actions? Their actions were rejecting that Jesus was the Messiah. Are you rejecting Jesus as Messiah? Some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, no, I've actually put my faith in Jesus, but I am still not being led by the Holy Spirit. I don't have a clue of what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't even understand what that means. But the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You know, that's God's very presence. You know, we sing songs about God's presence among us. We sang that. We at Christmas, God, Emmanuel, God with us. But do you know that God wasn't just with us, born in the form of Jesus in the manger? But he is with us even now, and he's with us through his Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is God's presence in each and every one of us. That's how God can be present right here and right now. But some of us have never even received Jesus as Messiah. And that's why the very first next step that you need to make, and if you are at South County or Lincoln, if you are watching online, this is why this is so important that you take this next step. Would you agree? Would you say, I don't understand the things of God because I don't have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. If that is you, indicate it on the connection card. Or if you go online, click on the link and let us know there. Or if it's easier for you to just text that word trust to 401-496-9710. And you're going to get an instant reply. And when you get that instant reply, click on the link, and that's where you give us your name. And we would love to be able to reach out to you and help you understand what it means to receive Jesus so that you can have the Holy Spirit inside of you, so that you can live a life that's fully charged. And then Paul wraps this up in these two verses, and he says this. He says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Please don't think that because you have the Holy Spirit that you're not accountable. That's not what he's saying here. This others is referring back to the people who don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They can't judge or evaluate you because they don't have the Spirit in order to evaluate you. That's what that verse is saying. And then he says this. He brings up this prophet. Paul says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? And obviously that's an understood statement. Nobody. But then he says this. He says, but we, Christ followers, those who have the Holy Spirit, we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. You know how you have the mind of Christ? Because you have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. This is how you can actually have the mind of Christ. This is how you can actually live out a life being fully charged with joy, with peace, with patience, with long-suffering and kindness. This is how this is possible, is because the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, we can take on the mind of Christ and actually live in a way that our life is transformed and other people notice it. Is that how you're living your life? The next step may be for you as a Christ follower. It says, I want the words that come from my mouth to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Would you let us pray for you? I mean, I need you to pray that this will happen in my life. I'm asking you. If you're online and you're watching, I'm asking you to pray for me. And I want to pray for you. Our team wants to pray for you. Let us know on the connection card. Again, if it's easier for you to text, just text that word pray to our texting number. And what we all need this week, we all need to let our words be driven by the Holy Spirit and not by us. Wouldn't you agree? Would you agree? Father, we need you. We can't live this life without you. And we know that we can live this life because you have given us the Holy Spirit to empower us. And we learned last week that Peter told us that we can live a godly life and every way that you have called us to live because of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. So thank you for making that possible. And will you forgive us for when we don't lean into you, Holy Spirit, and we allow our own wisdom to come through and our own words to come through? God, will you forgive us? Forgive me. For even this week, God, you know I've already confessed this to you, but I confess this before our church family. God, please, I need your help. And our church family needs your help. We cannot react in and of ourselves. We need you, Holy Spirit, to drive us. So please, be present in our very words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to respond to this teaching with a song called Names. And the very first phrase that comes out, it says,